Church. And why don't we give all of our kids a big round of applause today? Let them know that you love them, and we really do. Praise God. We can probably do better than that, can't we? Let's try that again. There we go. Sound like someone made a putt. You know, what was that? Oh my goodness. All right. Do you have your Bibles today? Whether it be tree or E, go ahead and turn, if you would, to the book of Colossians. Let me try to get this going here. There we go. The book of Colossians, and we are going to be in chapter 4. Now, we're going to continue the series that we have started, about the 1st of October, I think, is when we began. And we were doing a series called Great Expectations. We are trying to define what God expects of us, because I firmly believe that as far as our Christian walk goes, as far as being a Christian and calling ourselves a Jesus follower, there's a whole lot more than just saying a quick prayer, getting saved, and then just hoping and praying that you get there to heaven once you finally die. That's not God's design for any of us. He actually has expectations for each and every one of us. And the good news is, again, that every great expectation that Jesus has for us, he also gives us the power, the ability to fulfill those expectations. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So real quick, let's review what we've covered so far in this series. Again, on the 1st of October, when we kicked it off, we said that God expects us to be worshipers. Part 2, we said that God expects us to be watchers, watching the signs and the times that are around us. On the 15th, we talked about how God wants us to be warriors, fighting in prayer until we get the blessing that God has for us, till we get the answer that the Lord wants for us. And on the 22nd, we talked about being walkers, how wherever we are in our relationship with Jesus, he does not want us to walk backwards, nor does he just want us to be idle in our walk, but he wants us to walk forward and take some new steps, maybe even taking a chance in our relationship with him. And then last week, we talked about how God wants us to be worthy and recognize our worth in his eyes. Today, this one I'm very passionate about. I believe that God's expectation for us today is for us to be witnesses. Witnesses. That God has not done this incredible thing in our lives by saving us just so that we can have this great gift and never share it. This is a gift that God has given us that he wants us to share with other people. And the risk that I have in doing this sermon is that I could say, everybody, you need to be a witness. And then we go home and yeah, we know because we've heard it before. But I stumbled upon a scripture recently, and I felt God say, this is what I want you to cover. And so I believe that God not only wants us to be witnesses, but I think he also wants to be clear with you as to how we're supposed to do it. Because some of us, our idea of witnessing is grabbing somebody by the throat in the break room, putting them against the wall and reciting the four spiritual laws and, you know, yay God, boo devil, amen, and they're saved. And that's not that's not how God's designed it. I'd like to give you maybe a little more clear direction as far as how I believe we can share our faith on a regular basis. And let me just pause here and just say, well, I'm too shy, Pastor. Okay, stop that. Okay? God made you shy, but he also wants you to be a witness. Okay? Not everybody can be the life of the party. How many of you know that? Okay? Some of you, your spouse is the... Ah! And then the other one, you're the quiet one, okay? Praise God for that, all right? In our relationship, I'm the, hey, you know, I can talk to anybody, you know, anytime. I love engaging, I love talking to strangers. I do the exact opposite of what my mom told me. I just love to meet new people. It's a goal of mine every day. This is true. I have a personal goal. I try to make a stranger laugh every day. It's weird. Maybe it just feeds my ego, but I love to do that. Now, my wife, on the other hand, that's not her personality, okay? She's the one usually rolling her eyes at me because of what I'm doing, and is then there to correct me and to set me straight. And so you all know, because some of you, you're looking at your family members and you're defining, yeah, that's exactly it. Well, this expectation that God has depends nothing on your personality. It doesn't. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he didn't say, go ye into, now, just the big personalities, go ye into all the world, okay, shy people, you just hang loose until I come back. That's not what he said. So there's an expectation that God has for each of us to be witnesses. How do we do it? How do we do it? Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Let me give you a perspective that may help you, okay? Will you stand with me in honor of God's word as we read this together? How am I doing on this microphone, Earl? I am just having microphone issues today. Okay, all right, good. All right. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 5 and going to verse 6. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow with me on the screen. You ready? Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Oh, this is going to be fun. Let's pray. God, I pray for a number of things today, God. I pray that your word would instill confidence in us. I pray, Lord God, that your word would bring a drive within us to share what you've done in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray you would speak to your people and anoint this place and anoint this message in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, you may be seated. Now again, in my opinion, amongst all the great expectations that we're covering, this may be the biggest. This may be the most important to me. Because why? We live in a world that desperately needs Jesus. Can you say amen? I defy you to turn on the TV for more than 24 hours and not come to that conclusion. We desperately need to see people reached for Jesus of all cultures. Everywhere we might go, God has a plan for us, and he wants us to reach the lost. This is pretty important as far as the Word of God goes. Let me share just a few scriptures that define this expectation. Some of them you'll recognize, some of you. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. We call this the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus makes this promise to his followers, and he gives this direction to his disciples right before he ascends. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And just in case you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, that's the preacher's job to do that, to share Jesus. That's why we pay that guy the big bucks. Amen? Yeah. No, that's not why. No, that's true. It's not just my responsibility. How many of you know there are people that you can reach that I can never reach? Do you know that? There are people that you see every day that I will never see. And God, I believe, has opportunities for you to share your faith as well as the preacher. Matthew chapter 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Acts 4:20. They said this after they were persecuted and the church was persecuted and they were told not to share their faith. Acts 4:20, they said, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. God's done this. I can't help but talk about it. And then I found an interesting verse in Proverbs 14:20. It says, a truthful witness saves lives. And these are just five scriptures. I mean, all over the Bible, you will see commands. You will see God driving his people and wanting his people to share their faith. Now, let's go back to our original text in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. I really believe that Paul, as he's writing, gives us three themes for us to consider. Three themes to keep as a high priority in sharing our faith. Okay? So here I am, Sunday morning, I'm saying, be witnesses, be witnesses, be witnesses. And you leave, and you get in the car, you go eat and say, we should be witnesses. And then Monday morning comes, he's just like, how do I do this? How do I do this? Do I need to make an event? No. Evangelism, witnessing, sharing your faith is not an event. It should be a lifestyle. Okay? Well, you need to plan more things for us to... No, I don't. Okay? That's not it. So I want to look a little closer just at these two verses, and there's three themes that if we make these huge priorities in our life, I think we can see some that are close to us every day nudged a little closer to the cross or totally give their lives to Jesus Christ. Let me pause here and just say this. And I've shared this before, but not all of you have heard it, so I'm going to share it again. Jesus has called us. The expectation that God has for us is to be a witness. Now, if you are subpoenaed to court, if you are brought to court, some of you, I'm bringing back some things. But if you're brought to court, okay, and you are told to be a witness in a trial, your responsibility is to do what? To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Correct? Correct? You with me? You with me? That's the witness's responsibility. It is not the witness's responsibility to convince the jury. Listen to me. Your responsibility is to share. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to convert. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to change lives. Your job is not to do the Holy Spirit's job. Your job is to do your job. That didn't even make sense. Your responsibility is to do what God's called you to do. Be a witness. Well, they didn't get saved. That's not on you. So stop that. Stop that. If you don't hear "Just As I Am" playing in the background while you're sharing your faith, if no one's saying if you came by bus, they'll wait. You know, if that's not in the air above you, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but it's really funny if you do. So if that's not going on and you're not seeing Billy Graham type results, it's okay. God just wants you to be a witness. Let the Holy Spirit take it from there. Some people are planters. Some people, this is from the Bible, by the way, some people are waterers, and then some are harvesters. We need to be content with whatever role God's placed us, with whatever person's in front of us, if we're going to be a witness. So can I free you up? Can I liberate you from being bound to results-based witnessing? It's the Holy Spirit's job for the results. Your responsibility is to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And by the way, if they know the truth shall set them free. So what does Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6 tell us? What should we keep in mind? Let me show you. Number one, I believe the first area that we should make a priority in sharing our faith is our conduct. Our conduct. Colossians 4, verse 5, again, in our original text, here's what Paul said. Live wisely among those who are not believers. Do you see that? How should we live around people that don't know Jesus yet? Wisely. There should be, hear me, there should be an awareness of what our conduct is around people that don't know Jesus yet. And by the way, have you noticed I always use that word yet? Because there is not one hopeless cause out there. There is not one person that the grace of Jesus Christ cannot reach out to. No one is a hopeless case. Not when you have the blood of Jesus. Not when you have the cross of Christ. And so when you come across people that don't know the Lord just yet, there needs to be an awareness that, okay, I should be living a certain way. And I want you to notice something. Notice that this passage does not tell us to avoid unbelievers. Oh, I can't stand that. Oh, they're sinners. I might get sinner cooties on me. Please. The Spirit of God lives in you. You don't have to be afraid. Now, let me balance this out, though, okay? If you're at a stage in your life where hanging out or being close to a certain type of person or a certain group of people will bring you down in your relationship with God, okay? You need to get a little bit stronger when you're around those people. You need to avoid those influences. Let me give a practical example. If God has delivered you from some type of addiction, okay? Let's say it's heroin, okay? And that may very well be your story with the heroin epidemic here in Northeast Ohio. If you have been delivered from that junk, okay, the last thing you need to do is say, hey, heroin dealer, let's hang out. Not a good idea, okay? So this is where we go back to that verse where it says we need to live wise. We need to be wise around unbelievers. If hanging out with somebody is going to cause you to sin, then you need to change that relationship or avoid it altogether. Okay? Now, let's go back to the other side. Since we're filled with God's Holy Spirit, and since we don't have to be afraid of anything that the enemy can do to us or around us, then let me suggest to you that God wants our conduct to constantly reflect the one who died for us. How we act, how we live, how we conduct ourselves should not be a bad look for Jesus. When I would take our youth group on a trip, my last two commands to them, when I would let them go and do their thing, I would say, remember, you're representing Jesus Christ and you're representing this youth group. Do not harm any of our reputations. And that rule still applies. When we're out there, are we giving Jesus a bad reputation? Let me go there with social media, if I may. We need to be careful. Now, if you follow me on Facebook, you know that I'm a bit of a clown. I'm kind of a goof off, and I embrace that. That's fine. It's my love language, being a goof off. So I like making people laugh. I enjoy that a lot. But I've also seen that I have to conduct myself in a way that does not deter from my relationship with God. So sometimes I've had to delete some things, not because I'm, you know, dropping cuss words or something like that, but maybe I put something that could be a little bit offensive, even though I think it's hilarious. I got to realize that this isn't about me, it's about the people that are around me. You see? Look what the Bible says. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Write this down if you're able to. Just because I can doesn't mean I should.
Well, the Bible doesn't say that, and so I'm just going to...
Well, should you really? Should you? If your quote liberty to do this is going to potentially affect somebody, another believer, or a young believer, or a pre-believer, to find Jesus Christ. Should you really do that? Should you really post that? Should you really be involved in that? Or maybe we come to grips with the fact that one of the most precious things you will ever have is your testimony. I'm going to say it again. One of the most precious things that you will ever have is your testimony. And the last thing you want to do is mess that up. So sometimes I take some silly, deliberate steps. I'll be honest with you. There are certain aisles in the grocery store. I won't walk down them. Because the last thing I want is for somebody in my church to say, "Wow, must have been a rough week. Pastor's stocking up on beer." And I haven't had alcohol in my life. And so the last thing I want is to make somebody think that I'm delving into something that could be harmful to you and to me. Does that make sense? Our testimony. I've said it before, we need to become obsessed with our testimony. Okay, let me get off that. Number two, our conduct. Number two, I want to challenge you to capitalize. Never used that word in a sermon before. Pretty cool. I want to challenge you to capitalize. I want to challenge you to take advantage of certain situations. Look again at our original text. Paul says this in verse 5, make the most of every opportunity. I'm going to try to spend a little time on this because, to be quite honest with you, this is where I fear the church misses the boat. This is where I think we mess up. Because again, we save our witnessing for an event. We save our attempt to share Jesus for the giveaway in December, for the school giveaway that we have in August, for a sports camp that we might do, or some special service that we might have. And I got to be honest with you, I firmly believe, I really believe this, that the Lord provides regular opportunities every single day for us to share our faith. Every single day. And I think the church misses this. Because we look at different opportunities differently than I think how the Lord looks at them. I think we need to see disruptions differently. We do. Let me challenge you to do this, okay? Maybe you want to write these questions down. Let me encourage us to ask ourselves some questions. First of all, how do I view minor inconveniences in my life? How do I view that? You've got your schedule laid out. Now, if you know me, when I come in to work, I've got my schedule laid out. I know. Monday is the brainless day. You know, I write letters, I send emails, hopefully they're coherent, and I'm not trying to really be too creative because I'm still coming off of Sunday. And I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this, and then all of a sudden there's an interruption in my day. How dare they interrupt the great and powerful Phil? And it's really funny because I'm wound so tight sometimes because of my plans. And then God sends this little disruption, whatever that might be, a phone call, an email, maybe a personal visit, maybe somebody I bump into when I'm getting lunch, maybe somebody at the bank or something like that. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, I want you to represent me right now. And instead of getting so put out over inconveniences in my life, maybe God has sent those inconveniences my way so that I could share what Jesus is in about 30 seconds. Maybe it's nothing more than just saying, you know what, I'm praying for you. Maybe when I see the server at at the restaurant, and she's crying as she's trying to do her job. Maybe instead of me griping because I didn't get a refill, maybe I need to let her know that Jesus loves her and I'm praying for her. And maybe when I go out to eat on Sunday, I tip really well. That's just a pet peeve of mine. I just thought I'd throw it out there. Restaurant people should, servers should be thrilled when it's Sunday and not dread Sunday. Do you know we have the reputation of being the worst tippers? We are. Anyway, I gotta get off that because I can do a whole service there. Here's another question. How do I handle unexpected, unplanned conversations? What do you do? I love that. What do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh. I usually get that. Oh. You know, then they kind of rewind to see if they cussed in front of me or you know, did something. It's always fun. But they might be asking you, what do you do? Boy, you seem happy today. Why? Opportunity. Maybe they know that you're going through some stuff. In fact, here's another question. Do I see crisis moments as opportunities to share Jesus? I don't have time to witness because I am going through some stuff, brother. And God, I think, would say, I want you to maybe share me out of a point of weakness so that others can relate to who you are and see where I fit in when they go through the same thing. See, let me free you up with something else. You don't have to have it all together to share Jesus. Okay, most of us in here are a hot mess. And so we might as well just embrace that we've got some baggage, we've got some issues, we're still in this whole process of trying to become more like Jesus. So we haven't figured it out all yet, but that's okay, because we can share Jesus and let people know that God loves them with other hot messes and other people with baggage and other people with some issues, and that's okay. You follow me? And again, maybe it's just a simple conversation. Maybe you could just share something when you're in the elevator. You don't have time for a three-point Pastor Phil sermon with all the points starting with C when you're in the elevator. You just got to say, you know what, God has helped me so much. I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. Boom, doors open. You have witnessed. You've witnessed. Well, they didn't throw themselves down on the floor and say, what must I do to be saved? Are you sure that? Let the Holy Spirit take care of that. You with me? Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, similar to what we just read. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I've been saying this next thought a lot. I'm going to say it again. God will never waste an experience. If you've suffered loss of some way in your life, God's not going to waste that. God wants to use that. So when you find somebody who has gone through loss, maybe you've gone through divorce, maybe there's been a death in the family, and maybe you still haven't figured it all yet, but you know that God's the one that's getting you through, that's enough for you to be able to come into that person's life and say, look, I'm with you. I know what you're going through. Let me pray for you. Boom! You have just witnessed. You have demonstrated authentic Christianity. Maybe Christianity isn't so much what we don't like, but maybe it's about who we serve. I think we're known too much for what we're against instead of what we're for. Also, God will never waste a relationship. Good or bad. That coworker, the one that you like to slash their tires. You know who they are. Don't slash their tires, okay? Pastor Phil said, no. God brought that person into your life. So when they treat you like garbage, you know what they're gonna see? They're gonna see somebody who still represents Jesus, even in the midst of being treated so poorly. That's pretty awesome. That family member that doesn't know the Lord yet, God doesn't want to waste that relationship that you have with them. Listen to this stat. Between 75% and 90% of all people who first come to a church for the first time, they do so because of a friend or a relative. Between 75 and 90%. Now, when I go through the visitor card sometimes, and, you know, how'd you hear about us? Sometimes they find us online, and they see our site. But so many more times, it's because they knew somebody who was already here. Why? Because God did not want to waste that relationship. He brought you here. Some of you, you gave your lives to Christ this past year. God brought you here, and he used that relationship. Now he wants to do the same thing through you. God will never waste an experience. God will never waste a relationship. I'm going to close with this. The last area is our conversation. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone." This is an area that we got to watch, right? Our words. And I believe that our conversations should reflect our relationship with God. "Well, I was raised around a lot of cussing, so I just drop them like that." Well, I think God can break you of that. In fact, I know it. "Let no filthy communication come out of your mouth," the Bible says. So let God break you of that. "Well, that's just how, I'm German. I'm Italian. We do. I don't care." Our conversations should reflect Jesus. And let me go a little bit further, okay? Maybe you've caught on through the years that I could be a little sarcastic. I know. Kind of leaks out sometimes, splashes on people. There are moments. And my poor wife, when we first got married, she thought she married a heathen. She was like, "Oh my goodness." You know, she said, "How can he be saved?" But I assured her, yes, I know Jesus. And it just through my sarcasm, she was not raised in that type of environment whatsoever. And some of you are the same way. And so I've noticed that if my humor can kind of put somebody off a little bit, or it can be offensive, well, some might think it's hysterical, and you should. But while some might think it's hysterical, understand that there are some people that they might have a hard time with it. And that is not when I say, "Well, I'm just going to be me because that's who I am." Sometimes I just need to crucify that so I don't offend somebody, because the last thing I want to do is allow some of my brilliant anecdotes to push somebody further from God. Does that make sense? And so there's times where I've learned in my life, and I'm still learning, I guess, but there's times where I've had to scale things back a smidge, just so I don't offend someone. Just so that I keep on representing Jesus the way he wants me to represent him. I'm not saying it's bad to have a sense of humor, not at all. Sometimes we need that. But in our conversation, I think our conversation should be attractive to people, that when they hear us, it's just like, "Wow, you guys are real. You enjoy life. You enjoy each other. That's great." Do you realize how attractive that could be to somebody? Just being nice. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Mercy. I think God can bless your conversation. And I think our conversation should reflect our knowledge of God. The last part of that verse again said this: "Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone." I think we need to get to know the Lord. I think we need to get to know his word. There's questions out there. There's questions. People are wondering about their faith. And believe it or not, I mean, in 2017, there are people that just, they don't grasp this whole salvation thing. Here in the United States, here in Akron, Ohio, they don't get it. And this word says, have an answer for them. Well, I don't know it all. Don't tell them this. Okay, hang on, let me text pastor. That's not always going to work. Because I like to take naps. So I'm kidding. Well, actually, I'm not. But I may not be there when you need me to answer this deep theological question. Maybe you could say, you know what? I haven't figured this out either, but I trust God enough to serve him. I love him. I'm still on this journey. Why don't you join me in this journey? 1 Peter 3:15. Ralph, can you come to the guitar? But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness, look at the scripture, and respect. Can't believe you're asking that question, heathen. Tell Judas I said hi. You know, that'll bring him closer to Jesus. Or could it be? Could it be? You could say, you know what? Here's what the Bible says. Me and you, we're sinners. Well, I haven't sinned. Yeah, you have. I've watched you. And the Bible says that because of that sin, we're separated from God and we can't save ourselves. But that's where Jesus came in. He took my punishment and your punishment on the cross. And he died in your place, in my place. So I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to experience eternal punishment for my sin. Instead, I have a friend who will stick closer to me than a brother that I serve every day. And when all this is over, I'm going to be with him forever. And I won't feel pain anymore. I won't cry all the time. I won't have to pay taxes. There'll be no snow. You know what I just did? I gave a pretty rough presentation of the gospel. But that'll work. That'll work. You don't have to stand on a chair and say, point number one, you are heathen. Point number two, Jesus died for you. Point number three, now bow your heads. Just simple conversation. What can you do? I really believe that not only does God want to put a face into your heart for someone who needs the Lord, but God wants to show you divine opportunities to take where you can just gently nudge somebody a little bit closer. That woman at work who's going through so much, maybe you could say, you know what, I'm praying for you. Maybe you, in that relationship, you could even say, can I just pray for you right now? Wow. Maybe that person that treats you so bad at work, your boss, and rather than mouthing off back at that person, maybe you could say, okay, I'm sorry. Because that time will come when that person is in terrible need. And you're the one that they may go to for prayer. I've seen it. This morning, my prayer for every individual hearing this message is this. Lord, put a name and a face in everyone's heart that they could witness to. That they can nudge a little closer to the cross. You may live with them. Maybe a relative. You might see them around the Thanksgiving table in a couple weeks, or maybe they're at work. Maybe they're at school. Maybe they're in the neighborhood. Maybe they're online, and you're good friends online. Who's that person? And my second prayer is that God make us so wise to divine opportunities. And they might seem like inconveniences to us, but maybe, just maybe, that person stumbled into our life because they need you, Lord. That's my prayer. Will you stand with me? Was this helpful to anybody here today? Here's what I want to do. Let's bow our heads, all of us. Can we do that? And I am asking right now that the Holy Spirit of God would right now place a face, a name, an online friend, someone you don't talk to much, and place that on your heart right now. Would you just pray that prayer? Holy Spirit, just bring someone into my mind. Who is that person? I'm only going to ask you for one. I'm not asking for 100, just one. Who's that one person you can nudge a little bit closer, no matter who you are, no matter what your age is? Who's that one person? Holy Spirit, reveal that person to us right now. Please, please. And it may be a challenge, but God, you're greater than that challenge. So God, reveal that person to us, I pray. And now I'm asking that God would make you wise and make me wise to divine opportunities at the restaurant, at work, in the neighborhood, at the gym, at the school, the other parents on the team, classmates. God, opportunities now, Lord, I pray. Make us wise to those. May we make the most of every opportunity. Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking you right now to give us a burden for that person. In fact, God, we pray for that person right now. Will you do that right now? Just lift them up to Jesus. Lord, I lift up that person that's on my heart, that person who's on my mind. God, that person that you've placed there, I lift them to you. I pray that you would do what it takes so they would find you as Lord and Savior, Jesus. God, their soul is even more is more important than their comfort. So Lord, I pray that you would do whatever it takes so they might find you as Lord and Savior. God, you orchestrated the creation of this entire universe. You can certainly orchestrate an opportunity for us to make a difference in someone's life this week, that individual's life this week. I pray, God, that you would use the break time. I pray, Lord God, that you would use that interruption. I pray, Lord God, that you would use that trip on the elevator. God, I pray that you would use that moment on the bleachers. God, I pray that you would use that moment where we could speak into someone's life and nudge them a little closer to the cross so that someone else might harvest that and they might enjoy eternal life with you forever. That's the reason you died, Jesus. So God, I pray that you would give us the courage to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And may the truth set people free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you'd like to spend a little more time praying for that individual and praying for yourself, feel free to do so right now. If God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed. Please say hello to our missionaries out in the lobby by their table. Let them know that you love them. God bless you. Let's make this a place of prayer.